Well, this is Spiritual Gifts, part number two, and I'm going to give you guys a quick refresher. If you want to turn with me to the book of 1 Corinthians, and we're going to be in 1 Corinthians, and we'll start in chapter 14. Quick refresher, we talked about last week that spiritual gifts come from the Holy Spirit, that the Holy Spirit gives gifts as He wills, and the Bible says He divides them up and He gives them. And one of the ways that we receive those spiritual gifts is when you receive the baptism of the Holy Spirit. Now, we don't have time to get into all that we talked about last time, but basically we found out that there's an experience that we go through called salvation. That's when you're born again, you give your heart and your life to Jesus. Jesus comes and lives on the inside of you, and His Holy Spirit lives on the inside of you. Okay, you're born again, you're brand new. Now, there's a second experience that can happen. Sometimes it happens right when you get saved, and sometimes it doesn't happen right when you get saved. Sometimes it happens at a separate time. But there is an experience called the baptism with the Holy Spirit. Jesus is the one who is the baptizer with the Holy Spirit. Remember that John the Baptist pointed out to Jesus, said, "There's the Lamb of God who takes away the sin of the world," so He dealt with salvation. And then separately He says, "I baptize you with water." And yes, each and every believer should be baptized with water, but He says, "He indeed shall baptize you with the Holy Spirit." And so there's another experience that we can have as Christians called baptism with the Holy Spirit. Now, if you think of it as a picture of a big present, and there's this massive present there, and this is the baptism of the Holy Spirit. This is the gift of the Holy Spirit that's been given to each and every one of us, that when you open that up inside there, it is a baptism of love. Why? Because God is love. And if you're baptized in the Holy Spirit, if you're submerged in the Holy Spirit, then you are submerged in the love of God. Now all of a sudden that agape love of God is flowing in and through you out to others. Also, what else is in there as you open it up? Well, Acts chapter 1, verse 8 said that you will receive power. And that word power means dynamite power. It is a dunamis power, dynamite power. And it's an explosive power. What do you do with that power? Well, it says that you will be my witnesses in Jerusalem and Judea and Samaria and to the uttermost ends of the world. So now we have a baptism of power. There's this explosive dynamite power on the inside of us to do what we couldn't do, to go where we haven't gone, to say what we haven't said, and to be who God has called us to be. Can anybody say amen yet? Praise God. Now, what else is in there as you open it up? Well, as you may know, also when we opened up that gift and when we saw what was in there last time we were together, we found out that there was a spiritual language that came with that. And this is a prayer language. This is a personal language. And that's what we were talking about when I got up here and I started talking about praying with your understanding, or if English is your first language or if Spanish is your first language and you have that understanding, you can pray to God with those languages. But also, as you get baptized in the Holy Spirit, there is a spiritual prayer language that's given to the believer when you are submerged in the Holy Spirit. Why do we know that? Because when we see the disciples that were baptized in the Holy Spirit, the apostles and the other people that were with them, 120 that were there in that upper room, they ran out and they spoke with other tongues and they witnessed of the great wonders of the Lord Jesus Christ. Also, when you found out that there were other people in the Bible, Philip went and preached to Samaria, and then the apostles came and laid hands on the people to receive the baptism of the Holy Spirit, and the Bible says they prophesied and they spoke with other tongues. So this is something that we get as a believer. And Paul said, "I wish all of you guys spoke in tongues." He says, and I'm glad that I speak in tongues more than all of you. What is he saying? He's saying that he's building himself up, that he's encouraging himself. He's saying that he's using his prayer language. And so we talked about that a little bit last time as well. Now tonight, 1 Corinthians chapter 14, verse number 1, we're going to read this verse. 1 Corinthians chapter 14, verse number 1. And we're going to continue with these thoughts, talking about the gifts of the Holy Spirit. Now, we already talked about the gift or the baptism of the Holy Spirit, but now we're going to get into the individual gifts, okay? But let's take a look at them in a general sense before we go to the specific sense. Is that okay? All right, I'm glad that that's okay with a couple of you guys. Praise God. 1 Corinthians chapter 14, verse 1 says this, says, "Pursue love and desire spiritual gifts, but especially that you may prophesy." Now, when we get to prophecy, we'll talk about what that exactly means. But for now, I want you to focus in on a couple of words. Pursue love and desire spiritual gifts. So it's not a bad thing if you want to have spiritual gifts in your life. Now, let's take it a step further. That word desire doesn't just mean want. It means to be zealous for, to be passionate for, to be about them, in other words. It's the same word that Jesus used when he was going to have the Last Supper with the disciples. He says, "I've zealously desired to have this meal with you." He was waiting. He was wanting. He was going after it. He was being patient, but yet he still had this passionate flame on the inside of him that he wanted to get to that meal, and he wanted to serve these disciples, and he wanted to show them about the new covenant. And it's that same passionate, intense desire that we should have when we look at spiritual gifts. Why? Because if God gives you a gift, it's a good gift. I should have had a better response than that. If God gives you a gift, it's a good gift. Remember, Jesus said that if you ask your father for bread, will he give you a stone? Or if you ask him for a fish, will he give you a serpent? Well, the answer is obviously no. And he says, if you, being evil, know how to give good gifts to your children, how much more? Come on, somebody. How much more will God pour out the Holy Spirit on those who ask? And so when we go and we ask God for spiritual gifts, God's not going to give us something demonic. We ask him for a fish, he's not going to give us a serpent. We ask for spiritual gifts, God's not going to give us something that we can't use. We ask for bread, he's not going to give us a rock. So in the same way, he says, I want you to desire spiritual gifts. I want you to be zealously passionate about spiritual gifts. Now, let's talk about the purpose of spiritual gifts. The purpose of spiritual gifts is to build and establish the church. Let me say that again. The purpose of spiritual gifts is to build and establish the church. I'm going to prove this to you in Scripture, but let's talk about this for a second. Who is the church? We are, right? Is it the building? Because if the purpose of spiritual gifts was just to build a building, we wouldn't have any use for spiritual gifts anymore, right? But if the purpose of spiritual gifts is to build people, then we have a constant need of spiritual gifts in our life. Are you listening? You see, people are always changing. Situations are always coming up. New people are coming into the body of Christ. And therefore, the purpose of spiritual gifts is to build, to strengthen, to encourage, and to establish people in the body of Christ. That's the reason why we have spiritual gifts. That's the reason why God gave us these gifts. Now, let me show it to you in the Word. Romans chapter 1. Turn back. You're there in 1 Corinthians. Turn back. Keep your finger there. I think we're going to be back there in a second in Romans, in 1 Corinthians chapter 12. But Romans chapter 1, one book back. Romans chapter 1, Paul is writing to the church in Rome. Romans chapter 1, verse number 11, he says these words. He says, "For I long to see you." Why? "That I may impart to you some spiritual gift." Again, why? "For this purpose, so that you may be established." The purpose of spiritual gifts is to strengthen, to build, to encourage, to establish the church. That means that you're immovable. So Paul says, "I long to see you that I may impart to you some spiritual gift so that you may be established." He said, I don't want to have spiritual gifts so that I look like a big shot. Paul wasn't concerned about the way he looked. He didn't want to be one of those super apostles that he called them in 2 Corinthians. He said, "I would rather not even go there." He says, "My desire is to come impart some spiritual gift to you so that you can be built up, so that you can be encouraged, so that you can be established. Not so that I look good, not so that people call me prophet and I can write Apostle Paul on my business card." He didn't care about any of that stuff. He said, "I count all that fame and fortune of the world as dung." What does that mean? Poo-poo. So I count it all as loss for the sake of knowing Jesus Christ. And Paul's passion, Paul's excitement, the very thing that Paul was wanting to do was to build and establish the church. And that should be our aim and that should be our goal. When we desire spiritual gifts, it shouldn't be so that we can look like we're super spiritual. Shouldn't be so that when we walk into a room, people bow with reverence at the holy reverend one that's coming in amongst us, the prophet so-and-so. Listen, who cares about titles? Who cares about any of that stuff? But rather, the reason why we should desire spiritual gifts is so that we can build into the lives of people, so that we can encourage people, so that we can establish people in the ways of God, so that they'll be immovable. When the problems and trials and pressures and tribulations come against their life, they will be able to stand because they were given a gift, a spiritual gift that was imparted through your life. Are you listening? Praise God. Praise God. So, 1 Corinthians chapter 12. Turn back there with me. You have your finger in chapter 14 of 1 Corinthians. 1 Corinthians chapter 12. We're going to get into now the individual gifts. There are 9 gifts that the Bible records in 1 Corinthians chapter 12. And we're going to take a look at 2 of those gifts tonight, the first 2 that he lists. 1 Corinthians chapter 12, verse number 8 says this, "For to one is given the word of wisdom through the Spirit, to another the word of knowledge through the same Spirit." Now, we kind of picked up right in the middle of a thought here, and let me describe to you what's going on. Paul is saying that there's one Spirit, but many different ways that the Spirit expresses himself. And so he says these words. He says, to one is given the word of wisdom through the Spirit. To another, the word of knowledge through the same Spirit. So the Spirit of God, as he wills, comes and imparts spiritual gifts. Now, the first one that we encounter when we take a look at this list of the nine gifts is the word of wisdom. So let's talk about the word of wisdom for a moment. I'm going to give you a definition up on the overhead, and I want you to take a look and see what this says. The word of wisdom is the supernatural insight for practical action given to an individual believer by the Holy Spirit. Okay, let me read that to you again. I think that they have that. Do you guys have that in the back up on the overhead? The word of wisdom is the supernatural insight for practical action given to an individual believer by the Holy Spirit. Okay, they must not have that. That's okay. I'll read it to you guys again. I'll go slow. Okay, the word of wisdom is the supernatural insight for practical action given to an individual believer by the Holy Spirit. Anybody need that again? If you're writing notes, a couple of you guys, okay, cool. I'm going to say it again. The word of wisdom is the supernatural insight for practical action given to an individual believer by the Holy Spirit. Now, let's talk about this for a second. What does that mean? Notice that it is a word of wisdom. It is not just wisdom. This is not about natural wisdom. Sometimes we get confused. And we think, well, you know what, I got the word of wisdom because I'm really wise and I've got a lot of years under my belt and I've got a lot of experience, and so therefore I can go around and give people a word of wisdom. Tell them this is what you're supposed to do and this is how you're supposed to do it. But that's not what the Bible says. The Bible says that to one is given the word of wisdom. See, the Spirit sees a need, sees that there's a lack of wisdom, sees that there's something that needs to happen in a believer's life, and at the will of the Spirit of God will give an individual the word of wisdom for that believer's life. Now, sometimes God gives it to you for yourself. Sometimes God may give it to you to express to another person. Be very careful when you're expressing to another person. And if you're hearing somebody, if somebody comes to you and says, I've got a word for you, my brother, right? You better watch out. This better be somebody that you can trust, somebody that you know has the right to speak into your life. If Pastor Jim comes to me, listen, I've known the man for over 10 years. I've seen his way of life. I've seen the outcome of his life. He has proven himself over and over to me again and again and again. I've seen what he's done. I've seen him in the pulpit. I've seen him out of the pulpit, and it is the same man. He's expressed his love for me. He's done things that have just amazed me. And so if Pastor Jim comes to me and says, Pastor Dan, I've got the word of wisdom for you. This is what you're supposed to do. I've got supernatural insight for practical action in your life. This is what you're supposed to do. I know it by the Spirit of God. Let me tell you something. I believe the man. Why? Because he's earned the right to speak into my life. However, if somebody comes in the back door, hands me their card that says apostle, prophet, evangelist, pastor, teacher, so-and-so, and says, I've got a word of wisdom for you, my brother. This is what you're supposed to do, and this is how you're supposed to do it. I'm going to say, thanks for the card. Let me file that. And I'm going to say, I appreciate the word. Let me go to the word of God and make sure that that bears witness with my spirit before I receive that in. Okay? You say, Pastor Dan, why are you talking like this? The reason why I'm talking like this is because, you know, in churches, sometimes people get a little goofy. Sometimes people get a little prideful or they get puffed up and they think because they have some knowledge of the Spirit or they have some sort of wisdom that they should go around expressing it to everybody else and imposing themselves and their way on other people when they haven't earned the right to speak into people's lives. And also, they don't have the best interests of others at hand. They've got their own best interests at hand. But let's say you've got somebody in this church that is a dear friend, somebody that you love, somebody that you trust, and they're in prayer and they get the word of wisdom and they come to you and they say, listen, I don't know what this means. I don't know what this is, but I believe God is having me to tell this to you, having me to encourage you with this, that this is what you're supposed to do in this situation. This is the way that you're supposed to walk. And they give you a spiritual insight for practical action. That, my friends, is the word of wisdom. Now, how does the word of wisdom come? Sometimes it comes by a scripture. Sometimes you'll be praying and you'll say, God, what am I supposed to do? And God will say, I want you to go and read this verse. And you read the verse, and the verse is like a roadmap. Just tells you exactly what you're supposed to do. Many times people have gotten the word of wisdom from the word of God. Other times, God will just give you the supernatural revelation, that insight that you need for practical action. And he will say, this is exactly what you're supposed to do, and this is how you're supposed to do it. Go ahead and do it this way, my child. That is the word of wisdom for that individual. Now, let's take a look at it in the Bible. The Apostle Paul in the book of Acts, if you want to turn there with me to the book of Acts, chapter number 27. Are you okay tonight? All right, praise God. I know this isn't a hoorah, shout out, spit out type of a message. Roll on the floor. Some of you guys are holy rollers. Acts chapter 27. Paul is taking a journey. He's going to Rome. He's in chains. He is a prisoner, but he is appealed so that he can go before Caesar in Rome. Paul knows that's where he's headed. And Paul gets a supernatural insight of knowledge. Now, we'll talk about the word of knowledge a little bit later. And he tells the captain of the ship, hey, it's not a good idea for us to set sail. And he says, for I perceive that if we do, there's going to be a loss of the ship and a loss of our lives. And yet the wind was so fair and so nice that they decided to set out anyways. And don't you know, they find themselves in the middle of a storm, just like the Apostle Paul had warned them. And so here they are in the middle of a storm. They're all worried. They're all wondering what's going to go on. They're praying for day. They haven't seen the stars nor the sun in days. They're just right in the middle of a storm. Here they are wondering what they're supposed to do. And all of a sudden, we pick up the story in Acts chapter number 27, starting in verse number 21. Says these words. Acts chapter 27, verse number 21. But after a long abstinence from food, then Paul stood in the midst of them and said, men, you should have listened to me. That's comforting. I told you so, guys. But look at what he continues on to say. And not have sailed from Crete and incurred this disaster and loss. Verse 22. And now I urge you, take heart. Remember, we said that spiritual gifts are given to build, edify, and encourage the church. So look at what he says. He says, take heart. For there will be no loss of life among you, but only of the ship. Now, if that were me on that ship, I'd say, I don't care about this boat. Throw this boat into the deepest pit of the ocean as long as I can live. As long as I can walk away from this thing, I don't care about the boat. I'm happy. I can take heart about that. Now, look at what he goes on to say. Verse 23, for there stood by me this night an angel of God to whom I belong, and whom I serve, saying, there was a word that was given to Paul, do not be afraid, Paul, you must be brought before Caesar, and indeed God has granted you all those who sail with you. Verse 25, therefore take heart, men, for I believe God that it will be just as it was told me. And you know the story, they took some food, they ate the food, after they ate the food, they lightened the load, and they threw all the food off the side, and they hunkered in, boom, the ship runs aground, breaks into pieces. And yet every single person that was on that boat walked away from that shipwreck with their lives, just as the word of God had been spoken to Paul. Now, some of you guys are in the middle of a storm. Some of you guys feel like you haven't seen the light of day, you haven't seen the stars, you haven't seen the moon for such a long time that you can't even really remember what they look like. You're bewildered, you're wondering what happened, and yet the Bible says that we are to earnestly desire spiritual gifts. We are to seek after them. We are to pursue love and to desire to be zealous for and passionate for spiritual gifts. If you're in the middle of a storm, it's time to get with God and to ask God, say, God, I need the word of wisdom right now. Lord, I'm looking for it in your word. I'm looking for it in my prayer times, God. I'm listening in the spirit. And also, God, you are welcome to bring, whether it be an angel, that's a peculiar one. That doesn't happen too often. Sometimes it does. Or God, whether it be a fellow believer who you have divided that gift to them to speak into my life that I trust, Lord, and I'll know it's you when I hear it spoken. Praise God. That's the word of wisdom. Word of wisdom. Secondly, in 1 Corinthians chapter 12, if you want to turn back there with me, there in Acts, go through Romans into 1 Corinthians chapter 12. Verse number 7, we're going to read it again. I'm sorry, verse number 8. For to one is given the word of wisdom through the Spirit, to another the word of knowledge through the same Spirit. Now, some people might say, well, you know what? What's the difference between the word of wisdom and the word of knowledge? Well, let me first define the word of knowledge, and then we'll talk about the difference between the two. Because they are similar, but there is a difference that you're going to see here in a second. Here's the definition of the word of knowledge. The word of knowledge is supernatural revelation knowledge given to an individual believer by the Holy Spirit. Now they got that one. The word of knowledge is supernatural revelation knowledge given to an individual believer by the Holy Spirit. So now I want you to remember, word of wisdom was spiritual insight given for practical action. You were to do something with that. It was giving you the way to do it. It was giving you the wisdom of God to do it. But rather, the word of knowledge is just a supernatural revelation of knowledge that is given to an individual believer by the Holy Spirit. Now, this knowledge could be about facts, could be something that you did not know and you could not have known otherwise. This knowledge could be about circumstances. Maybe you're in the middle of something going on and you're wondering what's happening, and God reveals to you the circumstances surrounding that, and all of a sudden it changes the way that you view that situation. Also, it could be of motives. Maybe you're going into a business deal with somebody and all of a sudden you have the word of knowledge that says this person that you're about to get into business with, their motives are impure and I want you to stay away from that. Now that would be the word of knowledge as well as the word of wisdom, because now you know what to do to stay away, right? But the word of knowledge could reveal to you this person's motives are impure. I know by the Spirit of God, I know that I know what that is all about right now. And you know what to do afterwards because you've had the word of knowledge. Now, it also could be things that you should know for your comfort. God may reveal something to you and speak that word of knowledge to you, and because now you have that knowledge, that you are comforted. Also, it could be that it builds you up. It encourages you. The word of knowledge could be something that once you get a hold of that, now you're built up. Now, what do you do with the word of knowledge? Because it's one thing to know something and to have it supernaturally revealed to you, but what do you do with it? Because the word of wisdom is very easy. It gives you the plan. It gives you what to do, how to walk in it. But the word of knowledge is just a revelation of knowledge, something that you could not or would not have known otherwise. What do you do with that? Well, there's a couple things you can do with that. Number one is you can pray. You can say, God, okay, I got the word of knowledge. I know this by the Spirit of God. Now, Lord, I pray and I ask for wisdom. Maybe God will give you the word of wisdom. Maybe he will just depart wisdom to you. Bible says in the book of James, if any of you lacks wisdom, let him ask of God who gives liberally. Right? If you ask in faith and you believe that you receive, the Bible says you have those things that you ask of him. God may not give you the word of wisdom, but he may give you wisdom to be able to operate in the knowledge that you now have. So take it to prayer. Find out what God would have you to do with that. What if God drops in your spirit that somebody's motives are impure? Are you supposed to say, your motives are impure, I know by the Spirit of God? I would suggest not. The reason why is you're probably going to offend that person, cause a division, rather than edify and build and strengthen the church. Not everything that God gives you to know should be expressed through your lips. Let me say that again, because that's so good for us to understand. Not everything that you know should be expressed through your lips. Sometimes God will give you the word of knowledge, tell you about somebody's motives, and you get in there and mess it all up by telling everybody, gossiping all around that person. Their knowledge, their motives are impure. You got to stay away from that person. And yet God was saying, I was giving that to you for edification, for building you up so that you wouldn't get caught up in that situation. But also, how about this? Pray for that person. Pray for their heart to change. Pray for the situation. Pray for their understanding. Pray for them to get a revelation of their own motives so that they can change. See, God sometimes will give you that so that you can encourage and build people up. Maybe you never share that knowledge with anybody, not even the person that you know it about, or not even the situation that you know about. And yet you take it to prayer and you change things in prayer. You guys getting this? That's one thing you could do with the word of knowledge. The other thing that you could do with the word of knowledge is you could maybe make a decision based on it. Now that I know this, I'm going to move forward in this way. You just know. You didn't have the word of wisdom, but you knew what to do with that knowledge because it was a missing piece that you were waiting until you got that to act on it. Are you listening? Maybe there was something that you were waiting to know before you expressed something to somebody. You know, like you were waiting to know if that girl loved you before you went and expressed your love to them. I'm just kidding right now, okay? Don't want to meddle in anybody's affairs. But sometimes we wait. Sometimes it's wise to hold off on decisions until you have the knowledge of God. Maybe there's something you just don't have peace about, and God drops in your spirit the word of knowledge that, hey, you know what? I've done this, therefore it's going to be okay. Therefore, you can move forward in this situation. See, and you didn't need the word of wisdom. You knew what you were going to do, and you moved forward in that area. Is this helping anybody yet? Praise God. Praise God. I like looking at Jesus, because don't you know that Jesus operated in the gifts of the Spirit? You say, but he's Jesus. Of course he did. Yeah, but remember that Jesus still was baptized in the Jordan. The Spirit of God descended on him like a dove, and he operated in the gifts of the Spirit. And he was the perfect man, and even though he was all God, he was all man. And therefore, he operated in the Spirit, and he showed us how to live our lives. Now, let's take a look at it in the book of John. You probably read this passage many times and didn't see the word of knowledge in operation, but you're going to see it here tonight. John chapter 4. We're going to start in verse number 16, and let me set the scene for you. Jesus is traveling. He decides to go through Samaria. As he's going through Samaria, came to Sychar. There in Sychar, he goes, sits down next to a well. Here at the well, he's sitting there and he's just kind of hanging out. And a woman comes up in the middle of the day. Now, this was kind of weird because women didn't come in the middle of the day. That's when it was the hottest. And so this woman obviously had something to hide. So she's letting down. And Jesus speaks to her and he says, give me a drink. Now, again, something odd is going on because Jesus is a man. But Jesus is also a Jew. And this male Jew is speaking to a female Samaritan. Now, if you didn't know this about the Samaritans were people who had mixed with other nations around them in marriage, and therefore they were considered to be half-breeds to the Jews. The Jews were prejudiced against them. They did not like them. When they took a trip, they would actually go around Samaria on their journey and follow through. They wouldn't cut across because it was a detestable thing, and they looked down on those people so much that they would go around their territory in order to get where they were going. So it's very odd that a male would speak to a female, but also very odd that a Jew would speak to a Samaritan. So Jesus speaks to her. She perks up and says, what are you doing? You're a Jew. Why are you talking to me, a Samaritan? And I'm a woman. She says, Jews have no dealings with Samaritans. And so he says, if you knew the gift of God and who was asking you for a drink, you would ask him for a drink. A woman says, you've got nothing to draw with. You ain't going to let anything down. What's going on here? Are you greater than our father Jacob who dug this well? Jesus starts to reveal himself to her, starts to tell her, you know what, you drink of this water, you're still going to be thirsty, but if you drink of the water that I give, you're never going to thirst again. Now, she's thinking in natural terms at this point. She says, sir, give me this water that I may drink. And in verse number 16, here's where I want you to see it. Verse number 16 of John chapter 4, Jesus says to her, go call your husband and come here. She's just asked him for a drink of this water so that she doesn't have to come back to this well, and Jesus calls her out in the issue that she's right in the middle of. He says, go call your husband and come here. Verse number 17, the woman answered and said, I have no husband. Now, watch the word of knowledge. Here it comes. Jesus says to her, you have well said, I have no husband. Verse 18, for you have had five husbands. Now, if you read through the chapter, she never told Jesus, I got five husbands, had five men in my life, none of them were my own husband. She never said that to Jesus. And yet Jesus says, for you have had five husbands, and the one who you are now have is not your husband, in that you spoke truly. Just totally amazes this woman. She says to him, sir, I perceive that you are a prophet. Why? Because he just read her mail. Told her, you're right, girl. You ain't got no husband. You got five husbands. The one you're with right now isn't even your own. She says, whoa, I perceive something. She didn't need to have the word of knowledge. She knew, this man's a prophet. He just read my mail. I didn't tell him any of that. Later on, she goes into the town and says, let me bring you to a person who told me everything that I had ever done. And the town says, we know your reputation. I'm going to go talk to this guy and find out what's going on. And there was a great revival in that city. Now, what is the point? The point is notice a couple of things that Jesus did when he used the word of knowledge in this instance. Number one is he didn't shame this woman publicly. Here they were together, they were alone, and he spoke something to her that even though it was a negative, it got her attention and it showed her who he was. Okay? Number two, he used it to encourage her and to build her. She was like, wow. She was amazed. She perceived he was a prophet, and then she received the words that he had for her afterwards. Okay, in the same way, the Apostle Paul. Remember I told you the Apostle Paul told the captain of the ship and everybody who was working on the ship, the crew, he says, I perceive that there's going to be a great disaster and loss of the ship and even of our lives. Now, when they get into the middle of the ocean, and all of a sudden there's this great storm that's coming against them, and Paul stands up and says, men, I told you so. Now listen up. What did he do? He built credibility because he had spoke what he had had by the word of knowledge beforehand, and now that they're in the middle of the storm and it's coming to pass, he uses it to say, but take courage, take heart, guys, because even though we're going to lose the ship, we're not going to lose our lives. And they were comforted, they were strengthened, they were encouraged. In the same way, the woman at the well, by the presence of Jesus, she was comforted, she was strengthened, and she was encouraged. Are you listening? So, somebody comes to you and says, I've got the word of knowledge for you. Once again, make sure that it's a person who can speak into your life. If you're going out giving words of knowledge to other people, or if God reveals facts to you about people, it's not time to just start spreading that around. You could really damage somebody with that. And yet, God may be asking you to pray for a situation. God may ask you to go and speak to that person, or you may know what to do with that revelation knowledge. Now let me relate to you a story in my own life. I know we've gone through scriptures, but I think it'd be good for you to see the operation of the gift of the word of wisdom and the word of knowledge that happened to me. I was on a missions trip, and we went into Israel for 19 days. While we were there, we received these gospel tracts that were in Arabic, just in case we encountered any Arabs and we wanted to witness to them. And we had their attention because, you know, anytime an American steps outside of America and people know who you are, apparently we have some sort of smell or something like that, that they know us. And so as I'm out and about, I'm waiting to see if any Arabs are going to talk to me because, you know what, everywhere else I've gone, people have just hounded me. You know, when I went to London, when I went to Scotland, people, you're American. Where do you live? You live in California? How big is your pool? I don't have a pool. What? You know, they're just like crazy after that, you know? Had a guy on the team from Texas. How big is your ranch? He's saying, I don't have a ranch. I just got a house with a pool. They say, how come you have a pool and you don't? So here I am in Israel. I've got these two gospel tracts in Arabic, and I'm waiting, you know. I've got them like almost at the ready, like one on each side, you know, that I'm just bang, bang, you know, I'm going to whip them out at any time. Watch out, because you're just going to get hit up with the word, you know. So I'm walking around. I got these tracts in my pockets. And the whole 19 days that I was there, not one. It was like dry. I ended up talking to people from Boston. I talked to somebody, I believe, from California during that time. I talked to people who lived in Jerusalem that were Jewish. And so I ministered to them about Yeshua, Yamashiach, you know. And so I tried to talk their talk and speak their language, and they just put up with me. But you know, we had a good time in ministry, but never did I get to talk to any Arabs. Never did I get to share with these two gospel tracts. So at the end of the trip, I was kind of discouraged. We were in London, we were debriefing, getting ready to go home. And I walked up to our leader. His name was Louis. Louis is a great man of God, and I just love the guy. He was the one that started the missions organization I was with. I walked up to Louis, and I pulled these two gospel tracts out of my pocket. And I said, Louis, I didn't get a chance to share with any Arabs. Here you go. You can have your tracts back. Louis stops me, and he looks at me, and he got very serious with me for a second. But I thought he was joking because of the way that he said it. And yet it wasn't until later on that I learned about the word of wisdom and the word of knowledge that I realized what happened at that moment. And that is that he gave me the word of knowledge as well as the word of wisdom. He showed me something, a fact that was going to happen, and then he showed me what to do with that fact. He stops me and he says this, just like this. He says, Dan, you're going to minister to two Arabs, and you're going to need those gospel tracts. Take them with you. Now, I'm sitting there thinking, I'm going, I'm going to minister to two Arabs back in the States. Listen, Louis, I didn't even bump into an Arab in the middle of Israel for 19 days while I was here. What makes you think back in California, I'm going to minister to two Arabs? So we go along and we're doing different things and working with churches, and things are happening, things are taking place. One day I'm out at a car wash and we're having a good time at this car wash. We're having fun, you know, just preaching the gospel of our Lord Jesus Christ, doing servant evangelism. That means that we did acts of service so that we could preach the gospel to people. So we were doing a free car wash, and when people would try and pay or people would say, what are you guys doing this for? We would say, we're just showing God's love in a practical way. Go ahead, be blessed. We love you. And Jesus loves you. Oftentimes that would just open up the door to salvation, to the gospel being preached, to seeds being sown. And so it was a really neat thing for us. Well, while we're washing cars, somebody comes up and says, "Does anybody speak Arabic?" And so I'm sitting there thinking, nope. Washing the car, right? Next. And yet, because of what Louis had spoken to me, I remembered, oh, wait a second, dummy. You've got 2 gospel tracts in Arabic in your wallet. And so I said, hey, I've got some gospel tracts in Arabic. Would you like to take these 2 gospel tracts? They said, no, I only need one. It's just one person. They ran off, right? Snagged my gospel tract and ran off to minister to one. And it wasn't even me, it was them. So I said, okay, Lord. So I'm still doing my life, doing my thing. And I go on a cross-country mission trip. We were ministering in churches all across the country, and we were doing gospel presentations in churches. And as we were going across the country, we went from border to border, coast to coast, and everything in between, all on a bus that we so lovingly named the Wonder Loaf. It was a big white bus, so we called it the Wonder Loaf. You know, Wonder Bread. Okay, for those of you that don't know what I'm talking about. Had a trailer on the back we lovingly called the Toaster. Okay? And so we're driving across country in this bus, and we get to Colorado. There in Colorado, we are in a place that is one of the most beautiful places I have seen on the entire face of the planet. It's Colorado Springs, and it's called the Garden of the Gods. There in the Garden of the Gods, there's this massive rock. It's one of those balancing rocks that you wonder, how does such a massive rock stay on this little teeny tiny piece of, you know, support? Like, it's just sitting there. And it's almost eerie as you drive underneath it, you know, because you're driving by it, but you're kind of underneath it, and you're kind of like, whoa, is that going to fall on me? Am I about to meet Jesus right now? You drive through, and you see the kissing camels. There's these rock structures up there that look like 2 camels giving a kiss. My goodness. Just an amazing place. There in the midst of the Garden of the Gods is the Restaurant of the Gods with the golden arches, McDonald's. So our team is having dinner there in the Garden of the Gods, eating the food of the gods, Happy Meals. And as we're sitting there eating, these 2 men passed me by. Didn't think anything of it until 2 women passed me by. 2 women were wearing all black and their faces were veiled. I remember one of the guys sitting at my table said, "Hey, look, ninjas." And I was like, "Shut up, you know? You're going to get us killed, man." And all of a sudden, once again, I realized, I wonder if they speak Arabic. And so I approached the men and I said to them very stealthily, I pulled it out of my pocket. I said, "Excuse me, gentlemen, I have a quick question for you. I won't take up much of your time. I've been carrying around this little booklet for quite a while now. I can't read it. Could you read it to me?" And the one man sat down, he opened it up and he started to read it. And as he read it, he goes, "Oh, you know what? This is just some literature, talking about, Jesus and that he takes care of your sin problem, and it talks about how he died on a cross, and it's just some foolishness. You should just throw it away." And he looked up at me, and as he looked up at me, I think he got a word of knowledge, maybe, or something happened, because all of a sudden he realized, this guy's not asking me to read this to him for no reason. And I had him. I was like, "Hey, man, so you don't believe in this? You don't think?" "No, I believe." And so we started dialoguing. We started talking. I started sharing the gospel with him. He started sharing his beliefs with me. And we're sitting there talking. We're sitting there just, you know, gabbing for a long time. And finally I said, "Well, you know what? I've taken up enough of your time. Thank you for your time." And he thanked me and just was real appreciative that I took time with him to speak to him. And we had a mutual respect for one another. And I walked away from that, and as I was walking away, I said, "God, I thought you said 2. You know, I just got to talk to the one guy," and I looked over my shoulder, and there was the other guy sitting there reading that gospel tract at the table. See, when you have the word of wisdom, when you have the word of knowledge, sometimes God wants you to just take it and wait and incorporate it in your lives. You don't have to go gab it around to everybody. There's not a specific formula of what to do with it. Sometimes you pray on it. Sometimes you act on it. Sometimes it's just for comfort, just because you were all shaken up and there was a storm raging around you, and God says, hey, you know what? You might lose the ship, but you're not going to lose your life. Everything's going to be okay, like we sang today. Come on, if you got something from the word of the Lord tonight, let's give him a great big praise. Hallelujah. Praise God.